I don't think I need to convince you that prayer changes things. If you got your Bible with you, turn to the book of Isaiah and go to the chapter 58. Would be good. Is Rachel here? Rachel, could I ask you to chuck that up on the screen? Would you mind doing that? Yeah, Levi's gone to Children's Church. Isaiah, yeah, the prophet Isaiah, and we're in the 58th chapter. And we're looking at verse 6, and we're going to read from verse 6 to verse 14, and then we're going to kick into some points here. And I'm believing God for miracles today. I believe in God for him to move supernaturally amongst us. So Isaiah chapter 58, and we're in verse 6. We'll start in verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Verse 9, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take the yoke, take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall shine, or shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Three more verses. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Spirit of God, I thank you for the prophet Isaiah, and I thank you that he heard your voice and he wrote these things down. And Lord, we want to hear your voice today. Lord, we don't just want to read some dead words in the book. We want to actually hear your voice, your word speaking to our heart this morning. So I pray for every heart this morning. I pray for revelation, maramatanga, enlightenment to come into every heart and every mind in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. When we go through this passage of scripture, we see 16 conditions, if you like. 16, if you do this, if you do this, if you do that. And then we see in amongst the two, 20 promises. I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. So we see the if you do this, I will do this. One thing I have learned in the 40 years of following the Lord is that God always keeps his promise. It's impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to break a promise. He just can't do it. It's just impossible. Sometimes we can get things mixed up and we think that God has let us down. Anybody ever felt like that? Let's be honest. Yeah, there's been times when we felt like God has let us down. He can't let you down, but there'll be times when we get confused about stuff that's happened and it may seem like that, but God will never, ever let you down. He'll never let you down. Tell that person next to you, because He'll never ever let you down. It's impossible. It's impossible for him to do that. If you think he let you down, chances are you got it wrong. He didn't let you down. You've just misunderstood. You've just misunderstood. And so it's all right to say, God, I don't understand this. Because he didn't ask you to understand. He asked you to believe. I don't understand it. I prayed and my friend died. I don't get it, Lord. They say, well, it's all right. You don't have to get it. You just have to trust me. You just have to trust me. How come that fella prayed and his friend lived? None of your business. You know? Yeah. You just got to trust me. Okay? So don't ever let that feeling like God has let you down take root in your heart, because it's wrong. It's wrong. Reject it and say, God, I don't understand. This is so confusing. And the preacher said this. The preacher told me if I delight myself in the Lord, you know, he'll grant me all the desires of my heart. Well, I'm delighting myself in the Lord, and but the desire of my heart hasn't come true. Yeah, now God can't be wrong. God can never be wrong. It's impossible. It's very possible for us to misunderstand God. Very possible for us to misinterpret something. That's possible because we're human. Impossible for God to be wrong. It's just impossible. So if you said, so you got these 16 if, these 20 promises, and I want to tell you today, if you do your part, God will do his part. If you do your part, God will always do his part. That's his covenant. It's his covenant. So we began last Sunday to try to go through some of these conditions and these promises, and we didn't get very far, which was okay, because we don't have to get far. But the background to this message is, if you read the first part of Isaiah chapter 58 there, the background is the people of God at that time, we may as well call them the church, they were caught up in religious activities, particularly fasting. And they'd been fasting, and then they said to the Lord, "Waste of time fasting. We fasted for this, we fasted for that, and nothing happened." And then he rebukes them, he corrects them and says, basically he says to them, "Your religious activities are a waste of time." I want to tell you, church, religious activity, just coming to church for the sake of coming to church, is a total waste of time. Yeah. Reading your Bible just for the sake of reading your Bible, although it's a good thing to do, it's not that powerful, it's not that effective. Praying, all that kind of things, you know, I got a bit kind of animated last Sunday, if you were here. You know, it doesn't impress God, tithing and all that kind of stuff. It's got to come from the heart. And for it to be religious, yeah, being religious is a waste of time. So Jesus, through the word of God, he corrects him. He says, that's not the way to fast. This is the fast I've chosen. And then he begins to go through what a real fast is, what he really wanted them to do. So I want to, over time, at least look at four of the conditions and at least look at four of the promises. And the first condition that he put out there, he said in verse 6, he said, "Is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose bonds of wickedness?" And I won't go back over that, but I'm going to hopefully put that sermon up online maybe this afternoon, so you can get an understanding of what that means, to loose the bonds of wickedness. And even though he was speaking to the faith community, the second thing though, and this is what I want to get into today, maybe two or three in the time, is the second thing that we're to do as a church, all of us, this is a community thing, not an individual thing. This is not like it applies to you, but not to you. No, it applies to everybody here. If you think I'm preaching at you, yes, I am. If you think I'm singling you out, yes, I am. Singling out every single person in this room. Every single one of us is, see that one there? To loose the bonds of wickedness, and I like the way the RSV puts it, to undo the thongs of the yoke. We're to undo the thongs of the yoke. In my Bible, it says to undo heavy burdens. Now, what's going to be helpful for us here this morning is to have a little bit of a look at the Hebrew language to get a better understanding, because it was written in Hebrew. And sometimes we lose some of the depth of it. So this word undo comes from a Hebrew word, natar. And it means to loosen the thongs of a yoke. So what we need to understand what a yoke is. If we think about that wooden bar that people put across animals, we don't see it in New Zealand, but if you go to Africa or some of the Asian countries, they still have them. So they'll have two animals, and they'll be joined together with a wooden bar. That's called the yoke. And we're talking about loosening the yoke, untying that yoke. In times of slavery, they would get the slaves and put them in single file with a 2-meter stick, a yoke between them. So it was me and Anne. So Anne will be out here, and I'm like this, following Anne. And if Anne decides she's going to run away, it's like impossible. You know, you're trying to escape with a yoke around your neck, you'd be crashing into trees. It just wouldn't be worth it. Probably break your neck. And the scripture is saying, undo the thongs, the things that bind us to the yoke, the slave yoke. If we take undo heavy burdens is how my Bible is putting it. If we look at this word heavy, it comes from the Hebrew word mota, which is the same word they use for describing the yoke. And it speaks to us here this morning figuratively of oppression. Of oppression. Burdens comes from the Hebrew word aguda, and that means the band, the actual band that tied you to that yoke, to that. So it's a metaphor symbolizing the fetters of slavery. So what I want to declare to us here this morning from the Word of God is that the role of the New Testament church, the role of this church, of Heart of the North Celebration Center, is to literally and figuratively release people from their slavery. Literally and physically. Many people in our community and even in the church today are enslaved by different things. It's our role to set them free, to get ourselves free, to break the yokes and set others people free. And literally, like in the context of last night, they had the jewelry party where they raised $1,000 to send over to Burma, where the Christian people there are literally setting slaves free. Praise God for that. Praise God for the work that Doug and Kalinda are doing. Praise God for the work that Cap and Hlingte are doing in Yangon. What are they doing there? They're taking young kids from poverty-stricken areas, bringing them into their home, teaching them gospel, feeding them, sending them to school, preventing them from going into slavery, preventing them from becoming child soldiers and prostitutes. And when we say prostitutes, no, sex slaves. They don't get any money. They get used and abused. They get their organs harvested. When they're finished with them, chop their organs out, sell them. He's preventing that, setting slaves free. We're talking here about Pastor Jonathan from Rarotonga. Their church has started a school in Pakistan right next to a brickworks where kids are enslaved, little kids like 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, making bricks all day long. No pay, enslaved. They set a Christian school up next to that. So those young kids who were once slaves making bricks are now getting a Christian education and breaking through out of slavery. That's what we're talking about. That's the work of the church. It's in my heart that we send some young people, they don't have to be young, but young would be good. Any person with blood flowing through them that's alive would be good. We want to send them up to the Northern Shan State. You say, where's the Northern Shan State? That's right up there in the Golden Triangle, biggest meth producing area in the world. A war going on there between the ethnic groups and the government troops, and ethnic groups are actually winning that war. But we want to set up a Christian school up there so that the kids up there can get an education, get trained, know the gospel, they can get out of poverty, they can escape slavery. And I'm praying regularly that God would raise up somebody from our community to go there and establish that. Maybe he's sending you. Yeah, if you want to volunteer for that mission, you let me know. And we will send you up. We won't send you up there by yourself. We'll send a mate with you, probably. And we'll push back the forces of darkness. And we'll put this verse into action. We'll set some slaves free. That's what God's called us to do, to smash some of these yokes of oppression, break through. Maybe God is calling you to do that. Maybe God's calling you to fund that. Maybe you have some role in that. But even here, maybe this morning, you're weighed down. You know, it's all very good to talk about what's going on overseas, but maybe you're weighed down by something that's got you yoked, something that's got you in captivity. You can't break through, you're tired. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to tell you this morning, here in the Western world, here in our town, here in this church, if you are yoked to something, you're feeling enslaved by something, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is here to break that yoke. We're going to have communion together in a moment. And the Holy Spirit's going to break some yokes, set some people free. We reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, set me free. And I'm very sure that he will set people free here this morning as we come into relationship with God. We break those yokes, we become yoked to Jesus. The second thing, actually, is the third thing. It says, let the oppressed go free. Do you see that on the scriptures? Let the oppressed go free. This word oppressed is translated from the Greek word rasas. It means to crack into pieces, literally or figuratively, to break, bruise, crush, discourage, oppress, struggle. And the word go free is translated from the word Hebrew word hapsi, which means to be freed from slavery. So what I want to declare here this morning is the role of the church is to set people free from the trauma in their life, the traumatic events that have crushed you, those circumstances in your life that have crushed you. Might be the death of a loved one, could be a marriage breakup, could be a financial business went bankrupt. The events in life that have crushed you and damaged you, could be a trauma from your childhood, could be a rape, could be a molestation, could be violence, could be some crime that's been committed against you, could be a great disappointment, could be COVID restrictions, I mean lockdown and all that kind of stuff. All these things that come against God's people to traumatize them and to break them down and destroy them and to crush them. It's our role as the church is number one, to get ourselves healed, and number two, to help others to get healed and to deal with the trauma. You know, me and Philip, we've been pushing back against the alcohol abuse in our town and some of the crazy things happen. But underneath the alcohol abuse is trauma. The reason why people get stoned and drunk and turn to drugs and other things is to numb the pain that has been in their life. When people have gone through war, I heard a story about some of our co-martyrs who went on the Maori 28th Battalion, went to war. I heard this just 2 days ago, I heard about this, Friday. Heard about one, he had to clean out a German tank of the dead bodies that had been killed in there. And the smell of it, came back home, could never have another hangi again. You know what I'm talking about, the smell of the many men who've been to war and to deal with the trauma turned to alcohol. And then what happens? You get drunk and other bad things happen. You didn't necessarily intend to do those bad things, but it unleashes something. So there's been trauma in our town going back for many, many generations, all kinds of different traumas. The way we're going to beat the drug addiction and beat the alcohol addiction and all that kind of stuff in our town and all the craziness is for the trauma to be healed. And it's got to start here. These Christians have been traumatized. And we have to get real with ourselves and say, Lord, I bring you that pain. I bring you that trauma. That thing that crushed me in my childhood. That thing that crushed me in my marriage or whatever it may be. And bring that crushing and that pain to the one who can heal us. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I love what Mike and Janine are doing with their Full Life seminar that they do. And I think I told you, we went to Donna and Alistair were there. And many of you were there down in Tikipunga, and we saw these people coming like this, you know, Christians, but their faces were downcast and oppressed, and they're left free. full of the peace and the love of God in their life as God began to heal them from their hurts. So those are some of those things. We go to the promises now in verse 8. And last week we looked at, Rachel, if you chuck up verse 8. In my Bible it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Jesus said this, let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And this concept of the light breaking forth like the dawn is, you can't stop it. If you're trying to have a sleep in and you're lying in your bed and the curtains are open and the sun comes up and you think, oh, just a few more hours. You can't stop the sun coming up. If we do these things, church, if we heal these traumas, if we break these bondages, if we minister into these areas, into the prison and all these things that we're doing and we increase that in our personal life and in the community, you will not be able to stop the light of God shining out of us. And out of this church, we become that city on a hill that can't be hidden, that Jesus talked about. Can't stop it. Can't stop it. Oh, you know, people, I get annoyed when people tell me about all the darkness in the world and about how it's getting darker and darker. It's not, the church isn't shining bright. That's the issue. Yeah, we can shine brighter, right? Can we get brighter? I think we can get brighter. Praise the Lord. The second thing, and this is where we're going to start to bring things into a conclusion here this morning. The second thing is, this is the promise of God. It says, your healing shall spring forth speedily. Yeah. Your healing shall spring forth healing. The Hebrew word healing, aruka, it means restoring soundness, wholeness, health. It means to be made up perfect. It speaks of that new flesh that grows around a wound, when there's a cut. So to the Jews, this spoke about the transformation of their community. When will this happen? The scripture says your healing shall spring forth speedily. The community quickly restored. And that's what we're going to see here this morning, church. We're going to see some healings here this morning. Because this is the promise of God. We didn't come in here to be religious. Sing a few happy songs with Brian, hear a little bit of a motivational talk from Mike, have a cup of tea and a cheese sandwich. We didn't come here to be religious. Someone down the back is saying, yeah, I didn't, yeah. So I want to bring this now to an application. I want to make it personal for me and for you. The Spirit of the Lord is here to set the oppressed free and healing to spring forth speedily in our life. There are folks, and you don't have to be a prophet to work this out, but there are folks among us this morning with unresolved trauma in their life. How do I know that? Because I lived like that as a Christian. I lived like that, and one day it came out, splattered somebody all over the place. I won't go into all the details. I ended up on an anger management course. Yes, pastor of a Christian church on an anger management course, living beyond violence. Talk about humble myself. And the Spirit of God spoke to me out of, I think, the prophet, I think it's Jeremiah. He says, they say peace, peace, when there is no peace, for they have healed my people's wounds superficially. Or we could say they put a Band-Aid over a deep wound. Put the, there you go. Couple of little verses. A little prayer. There you go. You're all fixed. But underneath there was a festering mess. God lanced that ball, that lance, and he healed me. He healed me. Thank you. Praise him. Yeah. He healed me of a trauma. So this is the question. Where do you go when life's experiences have crushed you? Where do you go when life's experiences have crushed you? Where can you go when you've got deep hurts in your life that have been pushed down and now you can't even verbalize them? You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about here? When you know you're hurt, you know there's something wrong, But even if you went to a counselor and said, and they said, well, so what's going on with your life? You probably wouldn't even be able to say it. Some of our men, you really know what I mean, because we're used to putting up the walls. Put up the walls, put up the walls, put up the walls, put up the walls, put up the walls. And then we forget actually what it was that was hurting us, and we can't even, all we know is that we're feeling angry and or feeling sad about something. And you can't put your finger on it because it's been pushed down, pushed down, pushed down. Our culture, our religion tells us, push it down, push it down, push it down. Don't let anybody see that. Don't talk about that. That's weak. Who's going to understand you when you don't even understand yourself? The Lord. The Lord. Yeah. He knows us better than we do. Yeah. He knows when there's something wrong, when something's not right, and we don't even know what it is. Is there anyone who feels your pain and loneliness? Yes, there is. There's a man called Jesus Christ. Is there anyone who feels your rejection and understands it? Is there anybody who feels your abandonment? I want to tell you, yes, there is. Someone knows about it. Someone feels it. Someone is just as painful to him as it is to you. And who can you trust to let it all out to? This guy. Who can you trust to let that wall down and let him see into your heart? I want to tell you who. Yeah. It's a man, and that man's name is the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the man you can trust. He's the man you can trust with your deepest hurts, your deepest sorrows. You can go to him and he will understand you. He will care for you. He won't criticize you. He won't judge you. He will heal you. He's a man, a real man like you and I. Prickly beard, sweat, a man that we can run to without being gay for the brothers. I'm not ashamed to say, here this morning, I'm in love with a man. And that man is Jesus Christ. Not a creepy, perverted love, but a love that's real. A love, a man that I can run to, a big brother. Someone I can pour out my heart to. He's a real man who won't let you down. He's not a God way up there in the sky. Let me read these two verses to you. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, New Living Translation. Also from Hebrews, we don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. That's a great verse, eh? We do not have a priest that's out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all, but not the sin. Hebrews 4:15. Isaiah prophesied about him, saying, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The word sorrows means the pains, physical and emotional and mental. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Well, we didn't esteem him. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. I want to tell you that this morning, church, Jesus took our pain and our trauma to the cross. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. He was broken. He was abused. He was stripped naked, humiliated. He was rejected. He was all that was laid upon him so that you and I don't have to carry it anymore. Woo. We don't have to carry that pain around anymore. We can come to him and give it to him, lay it upon him. He said, well, that's not very fair. But he wants us to do that. He wants us to bring it to him. That's what he paid for. A great sacrifice. He wants to exchange all our mamai, all our hurt, all our pain. He wants to exchange it and give us healing. At the Last Supper, actually, could we have those emblems come up, please? Just put the, maybe bring them up here, put them on the stage if you would. And Brian, could you and Josiah come and And he said, no, not you, Brian. George, you and Josiah, and come and play your instrument. That'd be great. Maybe could our ushers come, and I want the ushers to give out the bread. And I want you to hold the bread for now. Our guys are just going off to the prison ministry. Hey, God bless you today. Yeah. You give out the bread. Give out. Yeah, don't stand there. Give out the bread. Yeah. If you would give out the bread too, thank you. That'd be great. I want you to hold this piece of bread in your hand. Could I have one? Thank you. Thanks. That's all good. God's going to do something powerful in your life today. He's going to heal some hurts today. Oh, I was just a young man going to a church service, year 16 or 17. Got into a place of praise and worship, and I just began to weep and weep and weep for no reason. What was that? God healing me. Healing me from stuff I didn't even know was broken. But He knows. He knows. He's going to do something powerful in your life. Set you free from some rejection. Set you free from some pain. When Jesus had His last supper with his crew, with the disciples, He had some bread and He broke it. Broke open the loaf. Everybody got some bread? It's good. And at the Last Supper, He broke the bread and He said, take, eat. This is My body broken for you. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, take it. Take it today. Take your healing. Don't just take a religious piece of bread. Take your healing. Take it. He's giving it to you. Take it, eat it. Take healing. Take restoration. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is what's offered to you today. Restoration. Your broken heart put back together. Don't carry it anymore. Take it. Take it. That's right, little baby. Take it. Exchange it. Heartache for wholeness. That sounds like good news to me. Woo. In Mark chapter 14, 23-24, he says, He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And He said, this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for many. You see, this morning we could have a dead, powerless ritual like those Jews were doing. Ah. Go through the motions of eating a piece of bread and drinking a little cup. Or we can meet the Savior at the cross. Your choice. You could meet the Savior at the cross today and have a powerful encounter with Him. So this is what I want you to do. This is what I'd like us all to do. As the bread has been distributed, I want everyone to pray just quietly to you, you know. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to use your God-given imagination to picture our Savior on the cross. Broken, beaten, bleeding, cut. Wounded, despised, rejected, humiliated, bashed up, abused, violated. And understand that he's taken it for you. I want us to picture ourselves right there at the foot of the cross. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to place your pain my pain. Place it upon Him. I'll just repeat it, make it really clear. Pictures yourself before the cross. Place your pain upon Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit, right now. Lord, for healing many hearts this morning. If you want to cry, you can cry. You can let the tears flow. Lord, I thank you for healing many broken hearts here this morning. Lord, I thank you for a process of healing and restoration coming into your people today. Two steps to this. Place your pain upon Him. Second step is to eat that piece of bread by faith and take your healing, take your restoration. So when you're popping the bread into your mouth, you're saying to the Lord, I take my healing, I take my restoration. Holy Spirit, move powerfully. Touch hearts deeply here this morning, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. If our ushers continue to let the Holy Spirit minister to you, if our ushers would come and distribute the cups as quickly as possible, that'd be great. Thank you, ushers. You're doing a great job. Same thing, just hold the cup for a minute. Don't drink it yet. Holy Spirit, continue to move, continue to heal. Some of you will be hit with their healing right now today. Some of you throughout the day, throughout the week, God will begin to peel back the barriers and minister into your heart. But thank you, Lord, for your powerful restoration. Okay, thanks. Yeah, right down the back there. Yeah. Father, continue to heal. Continue to heal hurts. The trauma of abuse, be lifted off. Trauma of rejection and grief, be lifted off in the name of Jesus. Trauma of abandonment, Lord, be lifted off in the name of Jesus and placed on you, Jesus. You carry it, Lord. We release your healing power into this place today. Work supernaturally, Lord. Touch lives. Let healing flow in this place, Lord. Now this cup, as you if you have your cup here, this cup represents the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant is our powerful agreement with God. Can't be broken. There's two sides to this agreement. Our part and God's part. Our part of the new covenant is to believe. Is to believe. That's our part. What should we believe? We have to believe in Jesus. To understand what believing, believing in Jesus means this. To put Jesus first and foremost in our life. To believe in Him means to receive Him as our Lord and Savior who died on the cross for all our sins. To believe in Jesus is the only way to salvation. And once you receive Him, you receive the gift of eternal life. To believe in Jesus, because a lot of people out there in the community say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I want to tell you to believe in Jesus is to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that all your sins, past, present, and any future sins that you may commit, were all punished on the cross. And that today, all your sins and wrongdoings, He remembers no more. All gone. Our part of the new covenant is to believe. He wants you to believe with all your heart that He meant every word that He said. When He said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. In the new covenant, we're coming to a close here, but in the new covenant, there is nothing more for us to do other than to believe and to put those beliefs into practice, following the New Testament commandments. To believe. Believe that Jesus' blood cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. So as you take this cup this morning, believe that you have been made perfectly righteous by Jesus' work. Amen? That means you, as you take this cup by faith, believing in Jesus, you walk out this door this morning, not as a sinner. You walk out as a saint. Hallelujah. Pure, clean. Now, your friends might doubt that. Your family might doubt that. They might not think you look. Doesn't matter. We're believing what Jesus said about you. Clear conscience before God. That's us keeping our part of the covenant by believing. And we can then depend on God to keep His part of the covenant. You can expect God to protect you. You can expect God to provide for you. You can expect God to prosper you. And our part is believing and receiving the goodness and the blessings, the unmerited favor and success in our life. So why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? And I want to invite you to join with me and all the other saints here today. Drink this cup of the new covenant, fulfilling your part today, which is simply believing in Him. That's all we've got to do. And then live out those beliefs in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If the singers would come back, that'd be great. We're going to close our service with this song, I'll Make Room for You.